Well, we are really kind of scattered lowly tonight, so we're going to be talking and working through some things tonight, but I'll tell you, one of the things that you need to make sure that you have when you, as a Christian, you need to make sure you have your commitment. You need to make sure your commitment is up to par. You need to make sure that you're committed. You know, we have commitments to school, we have commitments to our job, we commit commitments to our spouse, we have commitments to our kids, we have commitments to sports or whatever it is that you do. But some commitments are more important than others. And that commitment in your marriage is like a really key piece there in your life. But a commitment to the Lord is also a key piece. And so we need to follow in the ways of the Lord. And when we don't, we find ourselves in trouble. And so I just wanted to say, you know what, it's awesome to see the young people that continue to come week after week. And some of this message is going to some of this message is actually for you tonight. It's just coming to me that it is, because there's a beginning part and there's a doing part and then there's an end part. But so tonight I want to share with you a couple of things tonight. I want to go in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, for just a little bit in 21. If you want to turn there, and we're going to shoot off into the beginning of Mark in just a little bit. But I want to split this into two pieces because I want you to see something from the Old Testament and I want you to see something from the New Testament. I want you to see how God uses people, and I want you to see that, you know, when you begin to look through all the 1st and 2nd Kings, where you'll see these kings rise up and their sons become, these princes become kings, and this whole bloodline thing begins to go. We see that even in England today, and some of that still goes on today, not as much as it did in the past, but bloodlines continue to roll. But I want to share some stuff with you here. Saul is a king. It's King Saul for Israel. It's King Saul. He's got his thing going. He's the crown wearer. God has anointed him, but then God has taken some things, taken that anointing off of him. But he's still anointed, but he's not, the Holy Spirit's not there. He's going crazy. He's chasing David. He's wanting to kill him. He's paranoid. He's doing crazy things. And God has anointed a new king through Samuel the prophet, and basically David is the guy. But because David is anointed, he is not king as of that moment. So he is on the run, and because King Saul wants to kill him and take him out. But Saul is increasing in his his paranoia. So he is increasing in that. But God is doing something with David. So to be a king, you need to have the kingdom. But there's something even more important than that. To be king, you need to have people that will work with you and serve you. And I see that in a church. It doesn't matter how strong a pastor is. If he doesn't have strong people behind him, God's going to either bring some people in, and those people have to make a choice. Am I going to follow? Am I going to do? Or am I just going to do my own thing? And I'm going to be a part of that. I think there are some churches today that have very strong pastors, but they're not getting anywhere because their people don't want to go anywhere. They're not getting anywhere because the staff is about as weak as straw. But they're also, I don't want to trip and fall over the stage, huh? I also believe that there are some churches today that have weak pastors, but they have strong staff, and they're able to do some things, but they're still not able to do everything they need to because they need that leader to lead. And then there are times when you have a weak pastor and a weak staff and a weak church, and it just crumbles all the time. There's no stability. It's just, they're not getting anything, and they're dying. It's dying. And then there are churches that have strong pastors and strong congregation and able to leap and move mountains because of the faith that they have in Christ, exercising what they believe and being faithful and committed. I believe here we find ourselves looking at David here at this point in chapter 22. So David left Gath and he took refuge in the cave at Adullam. So he's taking refuge there. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter where you go, God has got your eyes. God has his eyes on David. God has his eyes on us. But when David's brothers and his father and his whole family heard, they went down and joined him there. Now, it's kind of funny. Now, just a few chapters back, a little bit time before, his brothers was getting on to him, wasn't he? They were getting on to him because he was the young guy. He was the He was the one that, oh, did you come down here to see this great battle? Because we had the Philistines over here. We had the Israelites over here. And there was a giant named Goliath coming down there, just talking bad about God, talking bad about the Israelites. And so they're coming in there, and then David comes on the scene. He's taking some cheese and bread to his family, to his brothers, and then we're up on the hill in the battlefield. And anyway, he ends up going down and defeating the giant. We know that story. Most of us do. But that's his brothers. But here we find the brothers, listen, they're looking for someone to follow. They're looking for someone to follow. All right? And so it says here, it says, and his father, so David's brothers and his fathers and his whole family heard. This is where David went. He went to this cave, Adullam, and they went down there and they joined him there. Now that's the first thing that happens sometimes when you get ready to start a church. You pull family together. Sometimes that happens. You pull family together. Families sometimes can be hard to work with and serve in churches at times. But it's the way it is. God is building. I'm going to tell you something. This is where God began to build it, right here, in a cave. In a cave. David's going to learn to be a king in a cave. The first thing about kingship is it's not about all the castles and all the parties and all the celebrations and even all the battles. You got to learn how to lead people. A king has to learn how to lead people. And to be a good king, you love the land of the people. You love who you're over and lead and lordship and kingship and all that. So he says this. So God is bringing to him, drawing to David people that he knows, and is getting ready to draw people to David that he doesn't know. So he says, so his brothers came, okay, as family, his father came, so all of his family heard, and they went down and they joined him there. So the cave, it's a big cave, it's a mountain, so beginning to fill in with some people. And then it says, in addition, every man who was desperate, okay? These are people not getting that are desperate in life. This is verse 2. They're desperate in life, okay? They're in debt or discontented, and they rallied around him. They got around David. They were seeing some hope. They were seeing that somebody has a plan. Somebody, listen, and they began to draw. God began to draw them there, and he became their leader. He became their leader. Okay? And it says about 400 men were with him. So David has taken the ragtags of the community. He's taken those people who are desperate, those people who are in debt, those people who are just desperate. He's taken his family. So he's got the I don't want to say the low income people, but he's got a lot of low income people because they're in debt. He's got a lot of family members. He's got a lot of people that are discontented with the things that are going on in the nation at that time. And so all those things, and they rallied around David, and David begins to lead them. And David goes on to some big, and so as they begin to grow, they begin training, they begin to do these things, and they begin to grow even in numbers of people. People are getting behind him. King Saul's still chasing him. He's doing this thing. Now I want you to run over to 2 Samuel. We're going to go in 2 Samuel chapter 23 for a minute. And so there's some time lapse now. We got some time when David got all of his guys, and he got these people. He's raising them up. He's doing his thing. They're training him, and they're training him, and he's leading them. Now, what we have now is we have this the exploits of David's warriors. Have you all heard of David's mighty men? Okay, David's mighty men. Okay, so what we see here is this. I want to read this for you. So something was going on. They're in this battle against the Philistines. They're doing their thing here. And it says in verse 13, Now there were 30 leading warriors went down to the harvest time, and they came to David at the cave of Adullam. Here we go. This place is growing with people. This place is growing with warriors. Before, they were discontent. They were people in debt. They were just family members. They were just people who were looking for someone to follow. And so here we see this piece here. Now it says there are 30 leading warriors. Woof. Now we have warriors moving in on the scene. And he went down to the harvest. They went down to harvest time, and they came to David at the cave of Adullam while a company of Philistines were camping in the valley of Rephaim. And at that time, David was in the stronghold, and a Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem, or at Bethlehem. And David was extremely thirsty and said, "If only someone would bring me water to drink from the well at the city gate of Bethlehem." So he says, I'm thirsty. Man, I just want some water from you. Y'all ever have a drink that you just really want? Say you like Mellow Yellow like I do. Sometimes Mountain Dew is not going to cut it. My wife would be vice versa. She says, I don't want that junk. I want Mountain Dew. I'd rather, I don't like Mellow Yellow. But we all have our favorites. We all have that thing that we like. A Coke or a Pepsi, whatever it is. David says, you know what? I want some water from my hometown. I want some water from Bethlehem. That's what I want. You know what? Here's what these guys do. Here's what we see. He says, if someone... only someone would bring me a water to drink in, at the well of the city gate of Bethlehem. He says, so three of the warriors kind of went like this. They kind of slid out. I think they kind of slid out and said, wow, all right, there's a key piece in here, okay? Now I want to tell you, if you have good people around you and you mention something, you don't even have to mention it again. Those leaders, those key people will dip off. All they had to do was hear something. Man, I wish churches today would do that. I wish people in the church would do that today, but it's not happening because we're not following leaders anymore. We're following ourselves. We're not following leadership. We're following self. Well, I just don't like the way things are going. I don't like the way they're doing it. I don't like the... this is what's happening. These guys didn't care. They were so focused on pleasing this king here. So. Here it says, so three of the warriors broke through the Philistine camp. That's what they did. It wasn't just a walkthrough. They had to break through it, okay? They had to break through the camp, all right? And they drew the water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. So they got the water, okay? Wow, they got the water. And then they brought it back to David, okay? So they got what David wanted. And sometimes we ask for things that we don't really, really need. We just ask for things that we really, really want. And it puts people in danger, and this is what happens. So he refused to drink it, okay? He refused to drink it. So he's going to turn something negative, something that he wanted, and something that turned negative, he's going to turn into a positive. So it's something, but, and so what he does is he says, he poured it out to the Lord. That's what he did. He refused to drink it, and he said, he poured it out to the Lord. David said, Lord, I would never done such a thing. Is this not the blood of men who risked their lives? So he refused to drink it, and such were the exploits of these three warriors, okay? So he says, Lord, these guys went out there, and they put their lives on the line. Man, we can't even put another 3 hours in the church, let alone put our lives on the line. I'm not mad at you, I'm just perturbed with church. I just want to throw the podium over. I'm sick and tired of people claiming to be these Christian warriors that don't even know how to sharpen their sword. They don't even know how to fight in battle. They don't know anything about spiritual warfare. Don't even know about wrestling through prayer. Don't even know how to listen outside of what they want to say. It's better to listen than to speak. And don't even hear what leaders are saying. They don't even see the direction. And let alone they can't even hear leaders. Let alone they can't even hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. Because that takes more energy. And takes more silence. And takes more concentration and meditation. And to hear what the Holy Spirit says than it does people. But we have a leader here. The king, he says, you know what? I want to drink. They didn't even question it. They didn't even question it. Speaking with someone just recently, and they're looking for a pastor. There's nothing wrong. They have a search committee pastor, but the problem is they've got a search committee pastor. It's got to pass through another committee to pass through another committee. Guess what? They're still pastorless. Going 2 years, you know, some of these churches can go 2-3 years without a pastor because they can't even get along. They're not even, they don't, you know what it is to me? They don't want a leader. They want to lead. They want to be the leader. And David just says, you know, Lord, I would never have done such a thing. He kind of repents there before the Lord, and what he does, he takes the water and he pours it out on the ground, and he gives it as an offering to the Lord. Now that's his business. He's a king. These guys aren't going to say anything because they're not sold out to, oh, David's going to take a drink. Let's see David take a drink. No, they're sold out to follow the leader. And so they're empowered by this. Now, what we do is we look over here. He says in verse 24, now among the 30 men, right? Well, let me back it up. He says, Well, among the 30 men, because I don't have time to get into the details. But there's a really cool thing, if you just really read the next 4 or 5 verses, really awesome about some of these guys and the things that they did, even some of the verses before. It's just really how tough these guys were. These guys, they just gave them whole selves. They gave their whole selves to David. And they followed him, and they led. These guys became warriors. These were the mighty three, and these guys became warriors, okay? But I want to tell you, I've got a couple notes I wrote here. It says if we're going to grow and do missions and evangelize and serve, we've got to have men and women. We've got to have mighty men. We've got to have mighty men and mighty women of God. And they've got to be in the local church. I also put down here, we must have some mighty women and mighty men of God to lay it all on the line. Like these guys did, lay it all on the line. I also put down there, it says we got to serve. We got to serve like these guys served David. We got to serve the Lord like that. It says, because these guys had no hidden agendas. They want the water, we're going to get the water. No hidden agendas. No hidden purposes, no selfish reasons, no selfish gains. We must have people who will just serve. Give it all out. But you got to understand there's some adversity there. You got to understand that we're going to face the odds. We're going to face the odds, the worldly odds, but it doesn't mean we're not going to make it because we have the Lord in us, right? Greater is He is in me than He is in the world. But we're going to face against the odds, okay? Doesn't matter. We charge ahead. All right? We charge ahead. Advancement is risky, all right? All right? We got to know what to do. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And whenever we get back, the leader will always take the outcome, and he should always give it back to the Lord. Amen? Because he poured it out to the Lord. This is an Old Testament story of generals, warriors, fighters. These are gallant guys, man. Could you imagine their faces when they got together and they said, David wants water. Not even king yet. David, he's just a leader. David wants water. Ready? Let's go. And they did it. They came back. Now I want you to turn over to Mark for a minute. This is where I want to be a little bit more than where I was, but I just love the stories of David and his mighty men. They never gave excuse. They never gave excuse. They just battled with him. They shed blood together. Some of these guys are just so awesome and so tough. Man, do we have any tough guys in the church anymore? Just spiritually tough guys in the church anymore? I'm just asking. In the churches today, do we have any tough guys? David learned how to lead a bunch of ragtags people. And he turned them into warriors. And then he became king, and they became generals. They had rank. Then he became generals, and he had houses, not living in a cave anymore. They started living in the kingdom. David didn't go from the shepherd. Listen to me, young people. David didn't go from to helping sheep and killing a lion and killing a bear to being a king. What made David so awesome is with allowing the Lord to work in his life and his anointing, all that stuff, was that David learned, God showed David how to be a king. And it didn't happen overnight. It took time. And what happened? David had to stay committed. But not just David. These mighty men had to stay committed. They had to stay committed. And I don't see a bunch of promises, as pirates would say, we'll go out and we'll take the ship and we'll split up the bounty. We'll split up the gold chest. We'll split it up. No, I don't see any promises that David made. They weren't looking. They were looking for a purpose in life. They were looking for hope. So God picks a man and says, I pick a boy. I pick David. He's going to be king. He didn't just pick him up and put him into the throne. He had a process that he had to go, and he had some things he had to learn, and people had to learn some things with him, and he had to grow. And he had the ragtag people. Now we advance up into the years. Jesus is walking around. The Son of God is walking around. He's walking around, and he's growing up, and now it's time to do ministry. It's time for him to reveal and began to do some things. He just got out of the temptation. He got baptized. He got out of the temptation out in the desert. He comes out victorious. And he's beginning, here it goes. He just, and God does the same thing. God says, the baby's here. He didn't just put him on the throne. We see some of those people that became like a king at 8 years old. We see some of those very, very young kings. And we see their little stories in there. But, you know, Jesus came as the King of Kings already. But he come and in the form of a human. And he didn't take him from out of that stable and put him into that throne. Right there on earth. They didn't do it that way. There's a process. There's a ministry moment. There's a ministry time. And so here's what we see. Now, David, God put David around, God put some guys around David. We just saw that. Those people who are indebted, those people who are desperate, family, all of that. Now we move into the time of Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to see this piece. So after the baptism and after the temptation, he comes out of the desert. And then it says, I want to read a part. After John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the good news of God. So John the Baptist is arrested. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. And repent and believe the good news. Lots of things were packed in. Mark is the shortest gospel and there's just a lot of stuff. It goes just real condensed, okay? All right? It's not like Matthew and Luke who are just like extended. A lot of details. But here's what he says. Here's what it says. Verse 16, as he, who, Jesus, was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, and Simon, or Simon's brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. I will make you fishers of men. And then immediately they left their nets and they followed him. They didn't say, am I going to get paid? They didn't say, are you going to help me out? They immediately dropped him. God was beginning to put men around Jesus at that moment. And we see two of them right here, Simon and Andrew. Okay? We see them together. And then we go on, he says, going a little bit further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in the boat. They were in their boat mending their nets. Jesus must love to hang around. He must like fishermen. All right? And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men, and they followed him. So these guys left their occupation. They left their father. Their father owns the boat. These guys were going to be the one to inherit the boat. They left that. They left the hired men. They went off. Now they're going to follow Jesus. So they're following Jesus. So they're following Jesus, doing their thing, and they don't know what they're doing. They know how to do nets. They know how to fish. They don't know how to catch people. They don't even know anything about the gospel. They don't even know much about Jesus. This guy just walks by. God is drawing them to Jesus because God has a plan. Now, did Jesus reveal that plan to him, to these guys? No. No. God did not reveal all these plans to them. You're going to deny me at this time, and you're going to run from me at this time, and you're going to ask some stupid questions over here, and you're going to blow it over here, and you're going to blow it over there. No, God already knew those blowouts, right? And we all have failures, and we have blowouts, right? But Jesus says this, you're going to be fishers of men. That's what you're going to do. Now, we go to chapter 3, and something amazing happens. Something amazing happens in chapter 3, in verse 13, these words are so small. Then he went up to the mountain and summoned those he wanted. Jesus said that. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 disciples. We know 12 disciples, right? 12 disciples. And then he also named them apostles, okay, to be with him. So he goes up and he prays, Lord, which ones do you want me to add? And there he is. There they are, 12. These are the ones that's going to be with me. And then what's it say? He says, to be with me. You're going to be with me. What are they going to do? To send them out to preach. And to have all authority to drive out demons. And there's the list. He appointed the 12. And there's the whole list from Simon to Judas. God takes ordinary people and junky and messed up people. If they're willing to walk away from the boat, they're willing to draw. They're willing to step away from their mess and their indebtedness and all those things. And they begin to say, you know what? I need a new life. I'm going to follow this new life. I'm going to do this thing. God can do something in your life. If you let God lead you, God's going to change your life and you're going to do things. These guys never thought they was ever going to preach. They weren't part of that bloodline. They were not part of that. They were fishermen. But God X'd that out and said, now you're going to be not just disciples, but you're going to be apostles. And you're going to go preach the gospel, and you're going to drive out demons. Whoa, what the world? I'll tell you what, whatever God draws you to do, you can do if you do it in His name. Sometimes we forget about Zebedee. We forget about those boys, that there were some things, there were some other people out there called hired hands. Listen to me now. When God chooses someone, He don't make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. So what do we see cohesively between these two stories, between David, King David, and Jesus? What we see is two men that were to be great leaders. God put men around them to be leaders under that leader. And what happened is from where they were, God kept rising them up, raising them up to be stronger and stronger. And many of them had so many failures. But the cool part of it is they never quit. They never abandoned the call. They never quit. So we see the guys there with David. They became mighty men, the three mighty men. They had all these exploits, they had adventures, and they had great names, and they did great things for the kingdom. And they followed David wherever he went, and they were just warriors, and they were just the fiercest fighters. They were fierce fighters. And then we look at Jesus, guys who just went every day. You know what they were doing? They were just going to work every day. Just going to work the best they could every day. It's not enough. It's not enough. I believe that when David speaks to Jeremiah and he tells the people, he says, you know, you're going to in captivity for 70 years. That's just part of the discipline, folks. But he says, I'll tell you what, I have a plan for you. After this, I have a plan for you. After 70 years of the discipline, I'm going to have a plan for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope in the future. You all know that, right? Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan. Sometimes we got to go through those other moments. We got to go to the cave where it doesn't look great. If you know how to take care of a cave, then maybe you'll know how to take care of a castle, right? If you know how to take care of a boat and you know how to fish, maybe you can take that same thing and learn the baits and all that. Maybe you can learn how to be a disciple and go into those ministry fields wherever God's called us to do. We don't have enough people in ministry. There's not enough people doing ministry. I know I talk a lot about ministry, but I'm going to tell you, there's not enough people. I'm not telling you that are really doing a lot in ministry. A lot of you tonight do a lot in ministry, and I thank you for that. But we don't have enough people in this church to be doing the ministries that we do. We need people to do more, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Because there's something that we need to continue to build, because I didn't pick it. God chose us to do it. And I think He's done a pretty good job. I think He's done an awesome job. But we're always going to have people that's not going to like what's going on. We always have people that's going to buck the system. We're always going to have people that's going to fight. We're always going to have people that's going to be discontent. You know what? That's their choice. We need to stay focused on who we're going to follow. We're going to follow who? The Lord, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And He does that through the local church pastor. That's how He does it. And local church pastor, I'm going to tell you, if he doesn't have it right, God disciplines, and He disciplines pastors harder than He does other people. You know how I know that? Because I read it in God's Word. Moses hit the rock one time. He sinned right there, and guess what? He died. He is going to die. God many times relented the pain that He was going to put on the people because somebody would repent. We see that. But I just want to share with you guys tonight that whether it's the Old Testament stories or the New Testament stories, they align. God is always raising up leaders and always raising up people around that leader so that things that God has planned for that leader and those people, that's going to have victory and success. And I just want to let you know, God's got that going on in your life. Today you may be working in one ministry, because I didn't start as a pastor. Randy didn't start as a pastor. You start in these other positions, you start in these places, and you just think, oh, this is the thing. When I did youth, I thought there was nothing better than you. When I started doing children's church, I thought there was nothing better. God gave me a heart for children. I love children. There's nothing, man, I just, I loved them. I thought about them all the time. I prayed for them all the time. But then God moved me to youth, and he pulled this thing out of me, children, and I just could not connect with children anymore. I didn't understand it. I couldn't connect. But what was God doing? I did not leave that into a mess with someone. I left it to someone who was learning and leading and becoming a leader and would follow and listen to what I was doing. And then when I let them have it, then they raised up another spot. It's not about getting into the rank and getting to the highest that you think you can get. It's just doing what God's called you to do. When you hear the king say, get that water, you run and you go get it, no matter what it costs. You do those things, and you come back. And I want to tell you, and somebody said, well, why in the world do you think they did that? What I want to tell you is, if you see the scriptures of some of these battles that they had, they could always go back and say, man, we went through that garrison. We went through there, and we got it. We can do this today, guys. It's your past victories that help you with your future fight and your future battle. It's your past testimonies. You can't lean on them all the time because you need to be making new testimonies. But and you're going to get into new battles and the spiritual battles. But you use those old ones to help you fuel you through the new battles because the new battles are going to be tougher than the old ones. If they're not as tough as the old ones, then it's not really a battle, is it? You just go through the motions, you get it, and you take care of business, and you walk away. But it's something bigger than you've been through. You're like, whoa, now this one, then this becomes a battle. And you're going to be fighting. You say, you know what, I've been through some of this, not quite this, but I can use this to fuel me. And you use old testimonies to fuel you to get through those obstacles that are in front of you and in those battles in front of you. But I'm asking you, who are you following? Who are you following? You don't do a very good job following yourself, and I don't do a very good job following myself. There's only one person we need to be following, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is very very organized. The Lord is very structured. He has a system. His whole solar system is just amazing. The body is a system and the organ is all. He is very detailed. And in those details, somewhere we're in those. And where he expects us to do our part. You're serving in the local church, you're doing your thing. Well, praise the Lord, thank you for doing that. But if God's moving you and touching you, pulling you from one place to the next, because when I went to youth, that was great, and I loved it, and I just loved teenagers, and man, there was nothing nobody could do to pull me out. But then when the Lord pulled that out of my heart and put pastoring in there, I was like, what? And then the next thing I know, I tried to talk to a 15-year-old, I couldn't even do that. I was just like, oh, because it wasn't in there no more. It wasn't in there no more. A fire had restoked and fired up. I'm asking you, if you're in the cave, you can stay there, but you're not to be there forever, because there's other things to do. So my question for you tonight really is, are you where God wants you to be? Are you being the man, the woman that God wants you to be? Are you letting him call you out? Are you drawing to him, letting him be your leader? Because he's got great things in store for you. You're not going to be a general until you learn how to be a private. You're not going to learn how to walk over there and take over a city until you can take your own home. Make sense? God starts with small things. And the first small thing he started off with was with you in your own life. It's you. And he begins to build. We should be stronger Christians next year. Next year at this time, I should be a stronger Christian than I was last year or this time, this year.